it's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The sideline report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. Coming up a little bit later on this morning, we'll talk with Kaw-Wah County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley. We'll talk football and some other things. And coming up in just a bit, Andrew Felker will be in the studio with us. We'll talk basketball and other things this morning here on the Sideline Report. Do want to let you know that basketball action is coming up tonight here on WPKY. The Lady Tigers play in the semifinals of the second region All-A Classic over in Dawson Springs. Game time, 6 o'clock, and you can hear all the action right here on WPKY tonight. Stay with us. We'll have more right after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Fredonia Valley Bank, thriving within our community since 1894. Its roots run as deep as the valley itself. Much has evolved since 1894, but Fredonia Valley Bank's dedication to being your hometown financial institution remains unwavering. In this era of financial unpredictability, you can rely on Fredonia Valley Bank's impressive years of exceptional service. Place your trust in them as they are prepared to care for your needs. Fredonia Valley Bank, local people, local decisions, and local commitment. Your true hometown bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Ready for road trips, school runs, or a weekend in the city? Trice Hughes has just what you need. Check out their huge selection of new and certified pre-owned Chevrolet, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles, all ready for your next adventure. Their friendly team treats you like family from the second you walk in and keeps you rolling with top-notch service every visit. Cruise into Trice Hughes in Princeton, where the perfect ride and true care come together for every journey.
Great news from Caldwell Medical Associates, now offering expanded podiatry services at the Annex. Anna Murphy and Dr. Walker Estes provide comprehensive podiatric care, from wound care to specialized treatments for foot and ankle issues. Whether you're dealing with sports injuries, arthritis, or require surgical attention, they're ready to tailor treatment to your needs. Don't let foot pain hold you back. Take the first step with Caldwell Medical Associates. Pain-free living right here, close to home.
Celebrate the businesses that make Western Kentucky shine. Head to bestofwesternkentucky.com and nominate your favorites in more than 100 exciting categories. Nominations end January 11th.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in on a foggy Thursday morning in Princeton. Again, basketball action here on WPKY tonight. The girls play over at Dawson Springs. Lady Tigers play Livingston Central at 6 o'clock, and we'll have that for you here on WPKY. In the studio with us this morning, Andrew Felker. And Andrew, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Todd. Be glad to be on this morning.
Yeah, glad you could slip away from the high school for just a few minutes and be with us this morning and talk a little sports.
Yeah, you know, it's always good to slip away and have a good sports conversation with our local fellas.
Yeah. Girls playing tonight over at Dawson Springs. I think they've got a good chance to get to the finals on Saturday.
I do. The girls are working really, really hard. They've had some success so far this year. I know they picked up a few big wins early in the year. And Class A tournament's always a good chance to get in the gym, play schools your size, have some success, and already start having that conversation of win and move on, because that's at the end of the day, you know, that's what you want to do as a basketball team in March, is you want to, in February in our case, you want to win and move on. So it's a good experience for our girls.
Now, a lot of people are looking at that second game tonight, Lyon County and Crittenden County, both teams 11-3. At least one of those teams is going to knock the other one out if you're a Kaw-Wah County fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's sometimes those draws and those Class A tournaments can be good in some cases and bad in other cases. And in this case, for Coach Thomas and the girls, it's always sometimes good to have some of those good programs on one side, and maybe you can slide in that championship game and have a shot to go.
Yeah, and the good thing for the Lady Tigers, they were supposed to go to Livingston Central on Monday in a first-round game, but Heritage Christian Academy pulled out of the girls All-A second region tournament. So and they had a bye, so that just left Caldwell and Livingston on the top part of the bracket. So They moved that from a first-round game to the semifinals tonight.
Yeah, so it's real simple. Win and you're in. Yeah. It's kind of like where our college football is right now. You're one game away from that championship, and you got to go take care of business so that you can play for a championship. Hopefully our girls get that done tonight.
And like I said, either Crittenden or Lyon is going to be favored in the finals, but if you get there, you never know. Maybe they can't throw the ball in the ocean that day, and maybe you get hot. I mean, that's kind of the fun of high school sports.
High school sports is that way. I know me and Coach Stallings, we talk about that all the time, especially in baseball. It's, you know, maybe one team's supposed to win, but on any given night, any given day, something can happen in a game, sports, especially when you're dealing with 15, 16, 17-year-old kids.
Yeah.
You just got to throw the ball out there and see what happens.
Well, and you mentioned baseball, and not to get off our basketball topic too far, but – you know, every time somebody brings up baseball, I'm kind of looking forward to this spring because Kaawa County has its top six pitchers back from last season.
Yeah, you know, that's that many pitchers. Baseball, they play a ton of games.
Yeah.
They schedule a ton of games. They play a ton of games. And it's good if you've got a rotation that you can throw out there. A team that maybe only has two or three pitchers, it becomes problematic to win those, try to be consistently good night in and night out. But if you've got five or six pretty decent pitchers, you're gonna win a lot of games.
Yeah, and not just the arms, but, you know, I think three or four of those guys are going to end up playing college baseball someplace.
Yeah, there's some pretty solid arms in that rotation, and I'm looking forward to this spring seeing those guys in action.
Yeah, that'll be here before you know it, but – you know, we still got some basketball to talk about, and I know Kentucky Wildcat fans are scratching their heads this morning collectively. What's wrong with the UK basketball team? You've got 20 minutes. Go.
20 minutes. Well, I know what some of my friends and colleagues would be saying, and they know who they are. You know, at the end of the day, Mark Pope did not forget how to coach basketball. That's just the truth and reality. I do think what this team has going on, potentially, I think there's chemistry issues there. I think a lot of people can think that. But I also think this team is not designed to play Mark Pope's style of basketball. And for whatever reason, he recruited them. You know, that is what it is. But I don't see shooters. I don't see much finesse on offense. That last possession last night, coming out of a timeout, that hurt. You know, that was a bad possession all the way around. Shooter never touched the ball. But I just think Pope's got some kids that can't play his style, and they've got to figure it out. He says that in his post-game interviews. We got to figure it out. Well, they got to figure it out.
They can't or they won't. I guess that's the big question.
You know, in the era of paying these kids, what makes them want to?
You know,
that's what I'm afraid of sometimes. What makes them want to figure it out?
But, you know, you look back to last season, and Coach Pope got the job late. You know, he was behind in recruiting, but he put together a pretty nice little team. It wasn't a juggernaut, but it was the exact kind of team he needed.
Yeah, and I think that's what's most deflating as a fan. I was coming into this season, and I was thinking, man, if he gets a chance to recruit a team, unlike the first year, he threw that team together, got the Sweet 16. I mean, I'm not going to lie, my expectations were through the roof this year. And it's just not panned out. So we got to trust those guys to get it figured out and see if we can get a good product on the floor.
But didn't it look going into the season like this team was much more talented than last year's team was?
Talented, yes. But now that they've played, I don't think that's the case. Maybe more athletic. We're bigger.
Yeah.
I do think we're stronger. We play much better defense. But, you know, defense does win championships. I don't disagree with that sentiment. But you do have to have some offense.
It seems like Pope kind of tried to change his style a little bit to coach this team, and I think that's just been, you know, so far a failure.
Yeah, and you know, in their win against St. John's, Coach Pitino said that he was proud of Mark for changing his approach to a more grinded-out defensive team. Since that game, we haven't seen many results from that, unfortunately.
Well, and like you say, it's not like Mark Pope forgot how to coach. He's still a smart guy, but he looks a little frustrated on the sideline. And, you know, at some point, you give everybody a chance, and I think he's tried to do that. But we're kind of getting toward the midpoint of the season, and at some point you have to find six or seven guys that you can roll with and feel good with. And if that means $2 million guy sits on the bench, then $2 million guy just has to sit on the bench.
Yeah, I mean – you pay these kids up front, but at the end of the day, when the season starts, your job's to win basketball games. And if winning basketball games means the guy that gets paid a lot has to sit for us to win a basketball game, that decision has to be made. And, you know, in this era, that's just kind of what we're dealing with. These kids are paid lots of money, but you still got to win basketball games.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. The NIL has changed everything, not just college basketball, but football as well.
Yeah. I mean, we're buying and selling players. We were having that discussion this morning at the high school, me and a few of the coaches. Is in this era, every year you're a recruit. Every year, everybody's recruiting. A lot of your big-time college football programs, they don't look at high school kids anymore. They're not. They're looking at these smaller schools. They're looking at schools in their own conference. I'm sure some of these coaches during a game are going, man, that guy over there on that sideline, he needs to be on our sideline next year. And, you know, that conversation was never taking place until NIL. But it is now, and that's just where we are in college sports.
Well, and you're asking how much that guy's getting in NIL money where he is, and can you offer him more?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, those conversations are being made every day with parents and student-athletes as well. I know you're getting this there, but we can also offer you this here. And it's no longer about educational opportunity. And you can argue maybe used to it wasn't even about that then anyway, but even more so now, it's not about the educational opportunity. It's what can you do to change my family's trajectory and pay me money?
Yeah. Well, I think all through history, there have kind of been the under-the-table deals, you know, in college sports. I mean, it's one of those things everybody kind of pretends doesn't happen, but it does.
I think Ed Orgeron the other day, who was the former coach at LSU, made this statement. The things they're doing now, we used to do out the back door. He says, now we just bring them through the front door. But
it's a big change, because whether you're a football team or a basketball team, you don't have kids on your bench like you used to that, hey, I know this kid's not going to play now, but in 2 years or 3 years, he's going to be a contributor. You can't keep that kid around anymore.
I just don't see many programs anymore take kids from their freshman year, develop them. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see how many programs this year in college basketball have a senior day for a kid that was there for 4 years.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I saw some fans say, well, we need to go back to getting the high school players and recruit the four-year kids. But that's not how the game is played today. And if you don't have $25 million for your roster, you might as well be playing Division III no scholarship basketball.
All I need to know is in the Final Four, what are those rosters made of?
Yeah.
Are they made of those four-year kids, or did one kid play at Georgetown last year, another one played at St. John's, and another one from Kentucky, you know?
So it's changed the game forever. I don't see how you ever go back at this point, and it's just a case of, you know, even a coach like Will Stein takes the Kentucky job. I'm sure one of the main discussions that was held before he took the job was how much NIL money do I have to spend each year?
Yeah, used to you would have conversations like, what are your facilities like?
Yeah.
How much money are we going to pour into facilities? Now these guys are talking about how much money, what's my budget?
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to get to do to go, what can I promise kids? And like you said, that's the world we live in now, yeah, whether we like it or not.
Right.
I hate it. I look at these college logos, and I used to cheer for those colleges. You want those colleges to do well. Now we're clubs.
Yeah.
We're clubs.
Yeah, it's essentially just a professional team that is owned and operated by the university.
By the university, yes.
So that's what we've gotten to with the NIL. But you're never going to have that carryover. You can't look at this year's team and think about next year, you know, because Kentucky is going to bring in the basketball team. Is going to bring in 8, 9, 10 different kids next year.
At the end of the year, everybody says, well, if this one stays and this one stays, that's over.
Yeah.
They're not staying. These kids are not staying. A few of them will, but the ones you probably want to stay are moving on. They're either going to the NBA or they're going to the next big payer.
Yeah, look at football. Cutter Bowley went from the future of UK football in less than a year. He's at Arizona State.
Yeah, and at the end of the season, he reaffirmed his commitment. But I think with the coaching hire that took place and just kind of looking at the style of offense that's going to be, I don't know that Cutter Bowley was equipped to run that.
Right.
And so Will Stein's got to go after his guy that can get that done. And I'm sure that Arizona State probably offered Cutter a little bit more than what we were going to probably pay him at that point.
And I think that's a lot of kids anymore. And if you're – School A and School B comes along and offers you more money, I mean, that's how you're going to end up You're going to pick school B.
And I know people get frustrated with these kids. They'll say, well, I can't believe this kid's going to leave. How many of us would not take the better opportunity?
For real. And it used to be the one and done thing. And people would say, well, how come they're not staying for 4 years? And it's like, well, because somebody's offering them millions of dollars and they weren't getting anything back then. So, you know, I was always of the opinion that college players should have gotten something because universities were making millions upon millions of dollars off of their work. But I'm not sure I ever thought we'd be sitting here talking about, well, we missed on this quarterback because we only offered him $5 million, but we got this one because he'll play for $4 million.
I really would like to know, and I haven't paid attention. I'd like to know what people like Bill Russell and Larry Bird and those guys were like.
Oh, yeah.
How much would we have gotten paid?
Oh, my goodness.
In the NIL era? You know, those guys.
Indiana State would have had no shot. No shot at getting a Larry Bird.
Hey, Kentucky probably would have got him.
Yeah. And a lot of guys. I mean, you go back and just, of course, there were all kind of recruiting rumors back in the day where universities would hide guys at hotels and things so that the other recruiting coaches couldn't get a hold of them right before they were going to sign. And some money probably changed hands. Eric Dickerson's grandmother got a brand new house, and I'm sure that was just all coincidental.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're talking this morning with Andrew Felker here on the Sideline Report. We need to get to a timeout. Stay with us. We'll come back and have more right after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
At Whitetail Properties, land isn't just their business. It's their way of life. Their land specialists are hunters, farmers, and rural landowners committed to helping you reach your dreams.
Since 1894, serving as your steadfast local banking choice for Fredonia Valley Bank. The world has transformed since then, but their dedication to you, their neighbors, has not wavered. Navigate financial complexity with a bank that's powered by 129 years of excellence. They're committed to investing in their community and the prosperity of their customers. Remember, choose local, live local, dine local, shop local, and bank local. Fredonia Valley Bank, where local people make local decisions. Your genuine community bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What are we going to do? Doctor, will he be okay?
Unexpected happens. Goodwin Insurance Agency has you covered with auto, home, life, commercial, boat, and RV insurance. That way, when the unexpected happens...
Congratulations, it's a girl.
You're covered.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
Getting the kids to school makes mornings a little busier for everyone. Keep your kids safe with a reliable ride from U-Ride. Every vehicle is thoroughly checked for safety because they know your family comes first. From first cars for teens to dependable family SUVs, U-Ride has a range to fit every budget. Enjoy peace of mind knowing they're nearby and ready to help. U-Ride is committed to you after the sale. Visit them on Marion Road in Princeton and drive with confidence this school year.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Andrew Felker in the studio with us this morning. And Andrew, you and I have called a couple of ball games together in the past.
Oh, yeah. Baseball season. Todd, yeah. You give me a call. And I told Tara, I said, I've never done radio before. I said, I don't know what I would say. So I remember the first game I had. Of course, you know, I'm kind of a sports nerd. I had my stat sheet ready, had it ready to reference. And, man, that was such an easy experience because Todd Griffin's absolutely the greatest.
Thank you.
He can kind of – it was so nice. I could just follow the conversation with Todd. And I really enjoyed it, Todd. It was a good experience.
You see my cheat sheet? I always come with a cheat sheet, you know.
I understand. You always need a cheat sheet.
Well, we were talking UK basketball. And the problems so far, and, you know, I think sometimes as UK fans, maybe we overblow things a little bit, and I don't know if this is overblown. I think there's really an issue with UK right now. I don't want to completely give up on the season yet because, you know, we're not even to the middle of January yet, and there's a lot of time to go. But, you know, we've talked about the problems. What are some things Kentucky can do to try to fix those things?
I don't think that Mark Pope cares about my opinion. But if I were talking to Mark Pope right now, one thing I think that we've got to fix is the simple things, the simple play. There was one play last night where on a box out on a free throw. It's kind of ironic this Saturday, my youth league team, we were in a tight spot in the game. We got the game as close as we had gotten it, and we were down six with about 3 minutes left. And I told my guys, we're right there. We just need to get one more rebound. Let's get a score. And on the very next possession, the other team shot a free throw. They missed the free throw, and then they put it back up and in and went up eight. And last night, I had the same feeling last night when UK on – and they show the replay. Both guys for the rebound step toward the rim. Well, that's not what you teach kids to do.
Yeah.
And these guys getting paid millions know not to do that. And, you know, if we get a block out right there, we get a rebound, you don't ever know what happens. But instead, they get the rebound, we foul again, the lead grows to three, and then, of course, the rest is history. So we got to do the small things right. And it's probably hard to take these athletes that think they're great, that are probably good, but to break it down and do the simple things. And I think offensively, Mark's going to have to simplify the offense. Mark Pope runs a very complex offense. You can go watch his BYU games. Watch UK last year, a very complex offense. I don't think these guys can do that.
Yeah.
And as a coach, the way you get around that is you go to quick hitters.
Yeah.
Quick hitter plays. And a 30-second shot clock, real simple quick hitters, and you've got to put the ball in the hands of the guys that can score. There's times that we've got guys on the floor. I am not confident in their ability to score. And if I, as a fan, am not confident in that kid's ability to score, I sometimes wonder if Mark's confident that person can score.
Yeah.
You know, I won't name drop any of them, but there's a few I'd rather them not touch the ball late in the game if we're needing a bucket.
Well, and that gets back to the group that was on the court late in the game last night. Kentucky's up eight. There's 4 minutes to go. You just grind that one out and pick up a win and move on. And instead, Kentucky turned the ball over twice. The last possession, they really didn't get a shot. I mean, it was an off balance, got blocked, you know, desperation kind of thing. And you just can't do that and win ball games.
I felt good when we were up eight last night with 4 minutes to go. I really kind of thought to myself, we're going to play good enough defense to win this. We'll hit enough free throws. We'll win this one by about 4 or 5 points because you know we're not going to probably stop them from scoring that much. But I figured an 8-point lead, we'd get enough points where we'd grind that one out. And, you know, when you finish the game on a 2-15 run for them, it's just inexcusable. If coach has got you in for defense and we got to shut them down last minute of the game, last 3 minutes of the game, and we're not shutting them down, we're going to have to find points somewhere.
Yeah.
And last night we didn't find any points.
With the NIL that we've talked about and players getting paid millions now, have we taken away some of the motivation from college athletes? Because it used to be you had to put on a show because you wanted to get the NBA contract because that was the money. Well, now you're getting millions of dollars. You don't have to put on a show. You don't even have to get to the NBA. You can hang around in college for 2 or 3 years and pocket, you know, several million dollars off of that.
I'll be interested to see how this translates with these guys that are getting paid so much. The kid at BYU is having a great year, by the way. He's getting paid a lot. But some of these guys, especially at Kentucky, that are paid with the equivalent, a lot of these guys that's performing this year, how's that going to translate to the draft? You know, are these NBA teams going to look at, well, Kentucky paid this guy X amount of dollars. He's probably going to be good, but what if he wasn't?
Yeah.
You know, are they going to, you know, the NBA draft is all about speculation anyway. There's a few guys, you know, it's going to prove themselves, but you're taking a chance on these kids. So I wonder how much that NIL package that they were paid in college may impact how NBA teams view them.
Yeah.
Or if that may be the high point for some of those guys.
Yeah. Like I said, we've changed everything. The NIL made it a completely different ball game.
It has, and I don't think I like it, but I like sports and I like basketball, so I'm going to have to learn to like it.
Well, it's like football. You know, I've kind of made the joke that, you know, when you see the openings on NFL games and they have all the players say what college they're from and they'll say, I'm so-and-so from Nebraska. Well, that thing's going to take 20 minutes now because every player is going to have to say, I'm from, you know, Campbellsville, Austin Peay, Vanderbilt and Alabama. You know, yeah. Everybody's got to name every school they've been at, and sometimes it might be four or five.
It may be, and I don't know. The NCAA lost control of this 5-6 years ago, and I think they're here recently. We were having the discussion of these guys that's G League contracts coming and playing basketball, and some of these guys played NBA, come play college basketball, and the NCAA kind of came out recently and said, "Well, we're not going to allow that." But you know, the genie's out of the bottle now, and the NCAA's kind of got their hands tied, and I'm afraid they've done that to themselves.
Well, let's change gears just a little bit, real quick, talk a little Major League Baseball. You know, I know you're a Cubs fan, and I'm a Cardinals fan, so, you know, we're enemies during the baseball season. But what do you see coming up this summer for baseball?
Yesterday, the Cubs picked up a starting pitcher from the Marlins. I looked up a little bit on him last night. That's good. We do need some pitching. Our starting pitching was struggling last year. But you know, offensively, we kind of fell apart. We did get to game, I think it was game 7 against the Brewers, and my good friends Jimmy Dyer and Bruce McAllister, they got the win that night. I'll have to give them a shout-out on that. But, you know, the Cardinals, I feel sorry for Cardinals fans. You know, Marmol has been subpar, in my opinion, as a Cubs fan looking at the Cardinals. And Coach Stallings and I talk about this all the time. The Cardinals just don't spend money on guys.
No.
They don't go out and get guys. And in that market, I'm a Cubs fan, but it's not good to look at Busch Stadium empty.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, get back to the motivation thing. What's your motivation as an owner when you're drawing 3 million people a season to be anything better than mediocre? Because you can always say, hey, we were in the playoff chase. We were right there. And people keep coming and spending money and buying $75 and $100 tickets every game. And, you know, there's 81 home games a year. They're making lots of money. What's the motivation to go out and spend big? And you know, plus, if you're the Cardinals, you can never outspend the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox. Or I mean, the way baseball's set up, you can just never do that.
No, and you know, you're right. When there's people in the stands, and I think sometimes that's what it takes is people not being in the stands.
Yeah.
You know, at Wrigley, you're never going to see Wrigley empty. They're always going to fill the stadium. And I guess as an owner, if I look at it, well, people are still coming to games. They're still spending money. We're making money. But us fans want to win. You know, we want championships. And unfortunately, there's a disconnect between those owners and fans sometimes. And they're looking at the bottom line. And we don't care. We want championships.
But you know that every time a big free agent name comes up, it's the same three or four teams that are going to win that bidding war just because they can.
You know, and we can circle back to college sports. That's the same way with these big-time coaches and these big-time players. If they say they're leaving their university, well, you know the schools that's going to be in line to get those guys. And that's the same way in Major League Baseball's. You know, those big three, they're going to be the first one to get dibs on them.
St. Louis kind of got around some of that for a long time because their farm system was so great. And I don't know exactly who in the organization was responsible for a lot of that, but somebody identified talent and got that talent in the system and improved on it. And that's why the teams were so good, you know, at the big league level. Well, at some point, that guy must have retired or left because the Cardinals don't develop players like they used to. And when you can't sign big-name free agents on top of it, well, then you're down to, you know, trying to scrap to be a 500 team now.
St. Louis, when they were having their run in the early 2010s, they had guys that were from their farm system that came in and contributed in the postseason. And that's not there anymore. They're out trying to find the latest guy, and the Goldschmidts and the Arenados, they just haven't panned out.
And, you know, Pujols was not a high draft pick. I mean, that's a guy that just kind of – somebody identified him, and he kind of fell in their lap, and he became, you know, a Hall of Fame kind of guy, and you got to have those kind of breaks too. But somebody in your system has to identify people if you're not going to spend money on the other end on free agents.
Yeah, and, you know, the Cubs have had a little bit of that. We've had some guys over the last few years that have come through our farm system that have contributed. But you're right, St. Louis has kind of lost that edge, and that's got them searching for guys.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for the Cardinals, those guys haven't really worked out for them.
But in the era of the wild card, mediocrity can still sometimes keep you out on the line for a playoff berth.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the NL Central last year. Three playoff teams.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Cincinnati, that may have been the worst playoff team I have ever seen in my life.
And well, Cardinals weren't far out of a playoff spot for a long time.
No, it took them a while.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure I'm for these expanded playoffs, even with the NFL. I mean, we got teams in the NFL in the playoffs with losing records.
Yeah.
And I know they won a division.
And hosting a game.
Yes, and getting to host a game. You're correct. And the same thing in baseball. Yeah. We got teams that, I mean, Cincinnati was barely 500, and we're talking about them being a playoff team. And it's, I don't know, it's as a fan, I kind of, unless it's my team, of course, and I'm tickled to death.
Well, and, you know, the sports owners are kind of greedy in a sense, and I understand you have to make more money to spend more money, but when you expand the playoffs, that keeps more teams in playoff contention, which makes late season games, you know, more attractive. And when you create more playoff games, that gives you more inventory to sell to the networks for millions and billions of dollars.
That's correct. If you've always got that chance to make the playoffs, people will still come.
Yeah.
So. And you know, you just look at those stadiums where the playoff teams were, they were out of the picture in September. They were ghost towns,
yeah.
Empty stadiums. And that's not what you want to see in sports.
Well, I appreciate you coming in this morning and talking some sports, and maybe we'll get UK figured out at some point, UK basketball, because I know a lot of people are kind of miserable right now over what's going on.
Yeah, it's a tough time to be a Kentucky fan, but at the end of the day, I support the University of Kentucky. I love the Kentucky Wildcats, and you don't want to see them lose.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you want to start seeing some positive movement with the team, and hopefully, I mean, we're just two games into the conference season.
Yeah,
so
that's
Mark's
what I'm
got
saying.
Mark's
it's,
got time to figure
yeah,
it out.
It's time to figure it out. If the light bulb will go on with the players at some point, you can still salvage it.
That is correct. We shall see.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming in.
No problem. Thanks, Todd.
Andrew Felker with us this morning here on the Sideline Report. When we come back, Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley will be with us. Stay tuned here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3. WPKY.
Stallings Auto Sales has an excellent reputation for providing quality cars at great prices. Stop by 1944 West 7th Street, Hopkinsville today. Stallings Auto Sales, your trusted source for used cars.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
School is in session, which means sniffles and sore throats are too. But Princeton Drug makes it simple. Feeling sick? Just pull up to our drive-thru and get tested for flu, COVID, or strep. No appointment needed. It's only $40 for testing, and if you need medication, our pharmacists can prescribe it right there in the drive-thru. You'll leave with your results, a prescription, and a school or work note, all in about 20 minutes, without leaving your car. Stay ahead of sick days. Stop by Princeton Drug's drive-thru and get back to what matters.
Brian Chilton with H&R AgriPower. The newest evolution of Farmall elevates performance, comfort, and styling to continue the legacy of this legendary tractor. The new Farmall Medium Utility C-Series features four models that combine power and technology for use on the farm and field. Field Ops connectivity enables geolocation and remote monitoring of machine functions, while heavy-duty front axle, increased hydraulic flow, and more rear lift capacity provide the power to handle more work with ease. Case IH built by farmers.
Stop by H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville today to find out more about the all-new Farmall C.
Henry Ford once said, stopping advertising to save money is like stopping your watch to save time. Advertising is an investment. At WPKY, we get it. While most businesses want to advertise, sometimes it can be tough to budget. That's why we are proud to offer options through our Big Deals program. If you have products our listeners want, you can pay for advertising with gift certificates to your business. Want details? Call WPKY and ask for Heather today. Or email hriley at wkdzradio.com. That's hriley at wkdzradio.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in today. We're talking with Jeff Riley, Caldwell County High School Athletic Director. And Jeff, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me. As always, I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Yeah, what's new at the high school right now?
Oh, I don't know about new. I know the winter sports are rolling. That's kind of we're neck deep in winter sports. Both boys and girls wrestling, boys and girls basketball are going pretty good. The girls basketball team plays over at Dawson Springs tonight to hope to advance in the All-A, so that's a big game for them. And the wrestling teams are doing their thing the weekends, and the boys just finished up at Rossview Tuesday night, and they're going to I'd have to look. They're going somewhere this Saturday.
Yeah, so Hendersonville.
So it's a big weekend and busy. The boys basketball team's got Union County on Friday night over there, so go over to Union County and check them out. So that's kind of where we are for this week.
Now, I understand that Hendersonville, Tennessee, is where Taylor Swift went to high school.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook. I know the wrestling team posted something on Facebook, so that's their claim to fame, I guess. I'm sure there's some other famous alum, but just not any more famous than her.
It's the Commando Crush. That's where the wrestlers are headed at this Saturday.
That's a cool name, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Now, we just had the Richie Rumble, another cool name.
Yeah.
How did you guys do as far as attendance for that?
It was pretty good. I think maybe attendance was down a little bit from last year simply because there were a few less teams. They didn't have quite as many teams as they had hoped. I think they had 20-something that had committed and kind of got back to 12. But I think there's been some sickness around. I think everybody knows the flu bug and the stomach bug's been going around. I think that kind of got some teams coming off of Christmas break. So I think everybody wanted some of the teams wanted to take some time to get healthy. But it was still a good day. And, you know, the kids got to wrestle, and it was a good full event. And, you know, made not a lot of money, but made a little money. And got the girls got to wrestle at home, and that's big for them to get to do something in their place because, you know, those home wrestling events are pretty rare.
Well, and you also had a big home basketball game Tuesday night with Lyon County. And there was a good crowd that turned out for that.
Yeah, it is good. That was a good full crowd. It was one of our better gates. It was a good atmosphere in the cab. The results weren't what we wanted, but it was still still fun. The kids got to go compete. So that's, you know, opening round of the All-A. So that was a good night too.
There was a time when a Caldwell Lyon basketball game though would just about have filled the house, and not there anymore quite. Not being in the same district, I think hurts a little bit. But it just seems like we don't quite get the crowds for basketball that we used to, and I don't think it's just a Caldwell County thing. I think that's most schools.
Yeah, I think that's across the board. I think probably everybody's attendance is a little bit down. And, you know, I think, you know, back in the day there really wasn't a whole lot else to do, but there's a lot of other things. And, you know, people are really busy. Kids are busy. I mean, kids are doing, you know, a bunch of different things, and it kind of depends on the night and what the kids are up to. But it's a busy – people are just busy nowadays, so there's a lot of entertainment options, and then most people like me, they kind of relish a night you get to go home and not have anything to do.
Well, and it was good to get Lyon County here. I know one of the biggest crowds we've had recently was the West Kentucky Hoops Classic a few years ago, the night that Lyon County was here. We had a huge crowd that night.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that don't necessarily follow Lyon or Caldwell County at that when they were following UK basketball at that time.
Yeah.
They kind of brought them in the building, so.
Well, and I kind of missed the West Kentucky Hoops Classic. It was a very, very busy 2 days, but, you know, it was just kind of around the holidays I found myself missing having those 2 days of basketball.
Well, it was a great event, and you know, kudos to the Hammetts and the HR Ministries and all the folks that put it on and all the sponsors that put that on. I know sometimes it was a big endeavor, and, you know, the folks that put it on had took a little bit of a step back, and you know, I didn't have the connections to kind of recontend it. We talked to our high school coaches and kind of what they wanted to do, and they were kind of, well, let's kind of, you know, go a year without hosting an event and kind of see, and we'll reevaluate at the end of the basketball season what we want to do next year. But, you know, they got to go to two good events. I think the girls got to go over to Logan County and play, and the boys went down to Ballard and play. So, you know, they had a chance to play some basketball, just had to do it on the road a little bit.
Well, and any time you host a big event like that, whether it's basketball or – you know, we've seen the two wrestling home events, the Armstrong duels, and then the Richie Rumble. There's a lot more to it than just opening the doors to the gym.
Yeah, there's a lot of logistics, and when you start putting together hospitality rooms and trying to get together concession stands and, you know, trying to make sure. I mean, the weather caught us in the Hoops Classic 1 year, and that was kind of a, you know, you had all that money invested and you get to have the event. So it's definitely an endeavor. It's a little bit of a gamble from year to year, but, you know, it was a terrific event, and it was glad why it lasted. So, you know, eventually we'll look at trying to host something again, I think, from a fundraising point of view for the basketball teams, but they just kind of took a step back this year, and, you know, we'll see where it goes moving forward.
I was going to mention that, especially for the wrestling teams, those are big fundraisers. So from the other side of it, it's good to have those events, but at the same time, you know, you don't think about these things, but you have to find scorekeepers, people to run the clock, you know. You have to find the clocks and the scoreboards and all those things, and you have to bring in some mats. So there's a whole lot that goes into hosting a wrestling tournament.
It is, and kudos to our coaches. Both of our coaching staff do a terrific job. I don't do a lot. I don't know a lot about wrestling, and I don't know about how it runs, but Coach Nichols and Coach Overby do a terrific job of getting it put together and getting the mats put in and getting the gym set up and, you know, having the people to run each of the tables. You got to have a table of three or four people for each mat, and you have a way to score for each table for each mat, and, you know, you got to have referees for each mat and all those things. So, you know, those are big deals. So it always kind of comes together. And, you know, the wrestling crowd's a different crowd. They're going to get in the gym and they're going to stay all day. And, you know, they're going to carry things in and out. And the concession stand is going to be full and busy. And, you know, it's one of the few events. Sometimes there are more participants than there are spectators, because a lot of times there are more kids than there are people in the stands. And you got to have a place for those kids to go when they're not wrestling. And it's a pretty big endeavor. So, you know, one of those things is just getting that thing put on. And again, kudos to them, wrestling parents, and you know, Coach Nichols, I teasing them, it's about a family reunion, because I think he gets you know, aunts and uncles and cousins and sisters and everybody there to kind of put it on. But it's a really good event, and it does help out on the bottom line, getting a little money in and kind of offset some of the costs as we go forward. So
now you guys also have a big event for football coming up in a week or so.
The end of the year banquet. I know we're going to kind of close out the 2025 season on the 18th. Well, and you know, we get to send our seniors off, and that's always good to kind of have one last time with them, and you know, kind of celebrate their careers, and you know, give them a chance to reflect on the 25 season, and you know, pat them on the back, and then kind of get the other kids geared up to get started on 26.
It feels like we were just having the kickoff banquet, and of course Elijah Sindelar came and spoke to that, and here we are wrapping it up and getting ready, almost to get ready for another season.
Yeah, it is. Right now I'm having trouble believing that this is the seventh day of 2026, let alone, you know, getting ready to get to move on and start the off-season football stuff. But, yeah, it is. It was a good, fun year, and I feel like we learned a lot. We had some ups and downs, but I feel like we had a really good year, and the kids worked really hard. And, you know, those seniors deserve a good pat on the back as we kind of send them out into the world. And hopefully we kind of use that banquet as a catalyst to kind of get the off-season going. We've got some kids in the weight room now and kind of started that right after Christmas and, you know, had some pretty good numbers. So we're looking forward to getting to work on 26.
Now, as we look ahead to next fall and next season, the 2026 schedule is just the same as the 2025 schedule. But as we look past that to 27-28, I'm guessing realignment's going to come back up at some point.
Yeah, well, every 2 years. So they look at the numbers every 2 years, and this will be this fall they'll get started looking at numbers for the 27 season, and 27 could bring some changes. And you know, we know from 24 to 25 we had some changes in the district and some shift there. So I'm sure there'll be some shifts back and forth in classes, and then you just start all over and get another 2 year cycle and do it again.
Yeah, the big question I've always had, and I've asked Coach McClung before. Before, the other class or the other district in our class had six teams and we had four. Last year we had six and they had four. How come both districts don't just have five teams?
I don't know. I wish I knew the answer to that. I think it's because if you look at it on the map, Todd County is just about as close to Fort Campbell and Mayfield as they are to Owensboro. I mean, I think it's, you know, give or take. I think that trip for Todd County to Fort Campbell as a district game is probably what kind of groups them with that, and Fort Campbell being grouped with us rather than being grouped over there kind of pushes it this way. So that's the best answer I can come up
with. Okay. We're talking this morning with Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley. We need to get to a timeout on the sideline report, but we'll come back and have more after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Ready for road trips, school runs, or a weekend in the city? Trice Hughes has just what you need. Check out their huge selection of new and certified pre-owned Chevrolet, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles, all ready for your next adventure. Their friendly team treats you like family from the second you walk in and keeps you rolling with top-notch service every visit. Cruise into Trice Hughes in Princeton, where the perfect ride and true care come together for every journey.
It's a proven fact. Going on vacation is really good for your health and happiness. But if money is holding you back from sandy beaches, the mountains, or relaxing by a pool, then you need to visit ABC Finance. They can help get you to that vacation destination you've been dreaming about. They offer loans from $500 to $15,000, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Your dream vacation is within reach with help from ABC Finance. All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is Todd Morse at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Courtney Morse at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make your loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed, walk-ins are welcome, and we can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community info.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
Serving Caldwell County since 1950, we're 1580, 103.3 WPKY Princeton.
We are back on the Sideline Report at 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Jeff Riley, Caldwell County High School Athletic Director, in the studio with us today. And Jeff, wanted to ask you about the Kentucky High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame for just a moment, because, you know, Emma Talley is eligible for that thing. I understand that Lyon County's Cullen Brown has been nominated. So it would really be cool at some point if they were, like, inducted together somehow.
That would be neat. That would be really neat and really great for this area. Those were two phenomenal athletes that had terrific careers on the links out there. And, you know, everybody knows how we feel about Emma. And you know, Miss Kim Farmer kind of headed up the nomination process. And we've kind of gone a couple years and put things together and submitted and making sure we've submitted it and put it in place. And, you know, hopefully she'll get the nod this time. I think they kind of announced towards the end of this month of what the next class will be. So our fingers are crossed for that. And I know Ms. Farmer's already mentioned that if she doesn't get in this time, she's going to double her efforts and put it in next time.
So all right.
I think at some point we can pretty much guarantee Emma will be in there. I think it's just a matter of time, of, you know, timing and who else is nominated and those things.
But I can't imagine two people that would be more deserving than, you know, from a high school student athlete standpoint and from people who just broaden the game and broaden their areas than Emma and Cullen.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a no-brainer if there ever was a no-brainer that this person deserves to get in. And, you know, you don't all – the only bad thing about those debates is, you know, you don't want to compare and put somebody else down to prop yours up. But, you know, Emma had a storied career, a legendary career, and Cullen did the same over at Lyon County. And, you know, they were both terrific people and great kids, so there's nobody more deserving. And it really would be neat to get two golfers from Western Kentucky right here beside each other and at the same time, so –
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever actually seen the criteria for those things, because I know sometimes when we're voting on the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame, people remember somebody as a player, but I think if you were a player at Caldwell and then you went on and had a storied coaching career someplace, I think you're still eligible for the Caldwell County Hall of Fame. I think all those things you've done past that are counted toward your resume toward the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think especially for a high school, if you're talking about high school Hall of Fame, because you're talking about, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids that are just getting their life started.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they've got a connection back to your school and they go off and do something great in that field, they go on to be a great coach, you know, a Tony Franklin, who was a great player but has also had a storied coaching career, somebody like that, they absolutely deserve to get in. And, you know, I think you look for talent on the field, obviously, and you look for great careers as players, but then you also can piece together some things that go beyond that. And if you have someone like Emma who's done all of those things, and I think it's just it's a huge plus.
Well, and sometimes, and I've said this before, whatever the Hall of Fame is, whether it's Caldwell County or the KHSAA or the Kentucky Golf Hall of Fame, which Emma was put into last year, you almost need somebody to kind of take up the banner for you and to kind of get your name out there and promote you a little bit. And you know, I know when it comes to the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame, all of us are always looking for people that might have been overlooked somewhere along the way.
Yeah, and I think it's really difficult when you start at a point in time and try to go back through history and you try to compare, because inevitably people compare, but I don't think that's fair, because, you know, times the game changes, the expectations change. But I think if you look at somebody and they had a great career and it was considered great when they got finished, then you kind of can look and see, well, what have they done since then? And that all that matters. I think it's especially when you're talking about a high school in particular. I think when you look at the NFL Hall of Fame and how they decide, I think they're going to be a little bit different. I think it's just about what you did in the NFL, you know. And if you're talking about a college, then maybe it's about what your college, because, like, you know, Tim Tebow's a college Hall of Famer, but he's not an NFL Hall
right.
of Famer, right? So I think you kind of do that when you get to that level. But when you're talking about kids who are getting started and have a connection back to your community, and it's, you know, it's not an arbitrary thing that you watch on TV. It's somebody that you know and grew up around, and they have a connection back to your school. I think you absolutely try to see the big picture.
Yeah, I don't think we can promote enough the people that have come before. And, you know, I think we need to kind of teach each generation when they're coming up that, you know, you might have come from Princeton, which is not like a huge city or anything, or from Caldwell County, but there's people from Princeton that have played in the NBA and won championships. They've played pro sports. They've people that have worked at NASA, have done right. big things in Washington, D.C. So, you know, that opportunity is out there. And I kind of like when we promote the past.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's important to have a connection to your history and tradition. And, you know, I think you know, kids kind of – their kids' idea of history is 4 or 5 years, you
yeah.
know. So I think you really have to keep the traditions and things in front of them and talk to them about people that come before them. And I think it's really important that you you make them believe that it doesn't matter. You can achieve your dreams no matter – you know, you don't have to be from – you don't have to be from Louisville or Lexington or somewhere like that. You can go to Caldwell County High School and do anything that you want. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important thing too. So we try to do that the best we can.
Yeah. Well, talking about the past – and I'll kind of put you on the spot here a little bit, I guess, but do you have a favorite moment from 2025, one that just kind of sticks out? You know, we've been doing all the year-end things and
yeah,
the look
yeah.
backs. Do you have a moment that sticks
well,
out?
You know, I really think kind of probably just for me, selfishly, from a football standpoint, I think probably my favorite moment was just kind of getting started and getting the year started and, you know, getting off to a good start and having the kids feel some success. And those are probably kind of my favorite moments. I think, you know, you know, I always marvel at, you know, how the kids react and do some stuff. I don't want to say two things specifically. I'd like to go back and look, but I think, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, just watching the kids have success and, you know, having them compete, and even sometimes when they fall short, if they handle it the right way and they come back and they learn and they grow from it, those are always important things. I guess football stands out in my mind because that's the one I'm most closely involved with, so that's the one that always kind of takes the cake. So I guess my favorite recent memory from 25 will be just how the football season got started.
Yeah.
We had some fun and had some success early and, you know, put ourselves in a position to kind of, you know, feel like we had done some good things. And, you know, the Marshall County game stands out as one of those kind of turning point mm-hmm. games. It was fun. And, you know, getting those, you know, we scoring a defensive touchdown or two. And,
yeah.
you know, having a kid that, you know, having a freshman kid that you coach score a touchdown, that's fun. So the kids get on to me because I was in the dog pile there at the end. And Coach McClung gets on to me because I had a little flag. But getting excited and having fun with the kids, that's always a fun thing to do.
Well, the one moment that stands out to me, and it didn't stand out at the time because we were all kind of pulling our hair out, but the night where it kept lightning,
oh yeah,
and we had Trigg County out here, and it was a big district game, and we didn't know if we were ever going to get the game started, and homecoming started about an hour and a half late, and then almost to the second that we're going to announce who the queen was, the lights went out.
Yeah, now that is unique. That is unique. I don't know if that was a favorite moment.
Yeah.
That's kind of, like you said, just as the athletic director who's talking to the principal and trying to coordinate things with the other team and then try to get ready to coach a game, you're still kind of like, what's going to happen next? Oh, yeah, the lights go out.
Yeah.
How did the lights go out? Well, are the lights going to come back on? Well, what is it going to take to get the lights back on? And so that was kind of a crazy night. But, yeah, that is definitely a unique one in history. So, and then it makes it better that you win. I mean, if you win those games, they're fun. It would stink to have to go through all that and not get the feeling of winning at the end. So,
but that was definitely a moment, you know. It's one of those moments
yeah.
you just
yeah.
You turn around and everybody in the crowd's got their phone out with the light on. And
yeah, the lightning's popped off back on, and like, oh, here's the lightning. Oh, yeah, those are memorable but not much fun for the athletic director and the principal, I can tell you that.
Now, are you keeping up with the college football playoffs?
I'm trying. I'm watching and kind of trying to go. I don't have a pick or a favorite, but I do love it. I do like this new format. I do like the playoff format. This weekend of football starting tomorrow night, rolling through the wild card weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know that you get – maybe Thanksgiving's pretty cool, but this is some pretty significant football being played at both levels.
The problem I have with this year's playoffs is that I would like to like Indiana – but it's Indiana.
But it's Indiana, yeah. I'm pulling for them because they're the underdog, and I'm always kind of – I do enjoy watching greatness. Watching Alabama and Coach Saban play is fun to do. I'm not like an Alabama diehard fan, but when you experience great things that haven't come much in the past, you know, that's pretty fun too. But it's also – you know, it's kind of what sports is all about for me when the underdog makes a turn and, you know, gets to be good. And now they're competitive and now they're going to compete. And, you know, as a coach, you kind of look at, kind of say, well, what are they telling their kids? And, you know, what's their mindset and how they doing things? So it is fun to see somebody new have some success.
I do like that it's determined on the field now. You know, we determine a champion on the field and not just, you know, people getting together and voting. But I haven't decided if we need 12 teams or 16 or more or less or how that goes. I don't like that they're calling some of the playoff games bowl games. I'd like for the bowl games just to be bowl games, yeah, and these to be the playoff games.
Well, you got to keep that TV contract money rolling in there, Todd. that's what more football doesn't equal less money, but they've got those contracts. They got to keep them in there. I do. I mean, I just feel like, you know, 2 years ago you were leaving number five out, and it wasn't long before, years before that, you were leaving number three out. Mm-hmm. And before that, you may or may not have one and two playing each other. So I think college football has made some progress. I think the college football product that you see on Saturday afternoon is probably a more fun product than what you see on Sundays. Mm-hmm. I think most people like college football and watching it and the pageantry and all that. I've never been a fan of the way they decided a champion, and they're getting closer to what I think is the right thing. Yeah. So I like it better.
Well, and when you see Indiana have success. And it feels to me like Indiana is just going to ride that all the way to the end. I mean, if I had to pick a team that was going to win the championship, it'd be Indiana. But I think when you see a team like that have success and you're a Kentucky fan, you're like, well, this kind of proves that it can be done someplace else.
Well, and the current environment is really set up for those fast turnarounds and getting the right guy in place and getting the right people on board. And, you know, I think it can, but that's a double-headed sword or whatever, a double-headed coin there. Yeah. You can flip it one way and have success, but you can also lose all your kids and your coaches to not have any success. So I think things change fast, and college football's got some things they need to get fixed for the good of the game. But I just don't think the playoffs one of them. I think maybe a 16-team playoff and kind of get rid of that bye week, because I think the last 2 years have shown that's not really an advantage to have that week off. So if you kind of add another four teams and get rid of that bye week and let all those have eight on-campus playoff games that first weekend, gosh, that just sounds like fun, man. Any other week, if number 16's playing number one, that's a great game.
Oh, it's a game of the week.
That's
right.
So you have that, and that's the worst matchup. Yeah. So I hope they go to 16 at some point, and, you know, they'll figure out what to do with the conferences and conference championships, and, you know, they'll find a way to make some money, because you're not going to make less money with more football. So. I hope they get it right. I really hope they fix the calendar and come up with a way to make this NIL thing a little more realistic, so that, you know, a team can build a little bit without having to worry about losing everybody every year. And I hope they kind of fix some of that stuff too. But, man, the playoff stuff is fun.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming in and talking this morning, and good luck to you guys at the high school the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks, man. We'll take all the luck we can get, and, you know, you get a chance to come out and see some of these kids play and support. We've got a whole half of the winter going, and then we'll kick off the spring and get outside and watch a little baseball, softball, and track and tennis and all those things, and keep that going too. So come out and see us at Caldwell County High School. We'd like to have you.
Again, that's Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY Princeton. Also appreciate Andrew Felker coming in and talking some basketball with us this morning as well. Basketball here on WPKY tonight. The Lady Tigers will be playing in the second region All-A Classic semifinals. They'll face Livingston Central, and that game will be over at Dawson Springs at Panther Gym. We'll have the game for you here on WPKY tonight. Again, tip-off time set for 6 o'clock in Dawson Springs. That's going to wrap us up for this edition of the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.